When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, I'm having a conversation with a couple of people in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. Making their triumphant return to the show, Chef Aaron Bluedorn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric.
Sharif Mboj, welcome back.
Thank you for having us back, Eric. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I had the privilege of celebrating Thanksgiving with y'all at Bluedorn. It was very delicious.
Awesome.
And nothing is as good as when Sharif shows up with the right truffles and shaves them all over your your mashed potatoes.
It's the day for it, you know? You know, when we have families and you and your mom, it's always so much fun having you in the house. So it was great seeing you both.
All right. Well, we have a lot to discuss. I mean, you guys had a very busy year with opening Bar Bluedorn, with year number two of Navy Blue, with, you know, hosting more events, more collaborations at Bluedorn. So Aaron, just kind of big picture, like what is kind of the state of, you know, the Bluedorn restaurant group as you head into 2025?
Yeah. So we're very thrilled to have three restaurants going into 2025, you know, Bluedorn, Navy Blue, Bar Bluedorn. It's been a wild ride. We've loved it. You know, Houstonians have been so extremely supportive of us, and we're so grateful for that. Yeah, you're right. You know, one of the things, you know, going into the new year, we've got a few exciting things coming up. Of course, the opening of Perced, which is in the Hotel St. Augustine, which is Bunkhouse's first hotel here in Houston. They're opening up two. The other being Hotel Daphne, but we're so thrilled to have been working with them. It's been, I feel like, a long time coming, mm-hmm. because with a hotel, you plan it out a lot further out than you do a restaurant. So we've been working on this ever since right after Navy Blue opened.
Around that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been almost a couple of years.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask you about, I've had my pronunciation corrected on this. I believe it's Perseid.
Perseid, yeah. It's named after the August meteor shower, or the meteor shower that peaks in August.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna ask you about that later, but we can do that. I mean, let's open with that. That is the new thing. Yeah, how did that project come together? Because, as you said, like Bunkhouse has never been in Houston before. You know, they're kind of known for having like a destination worthy restaurant as part of the experience. So how did that come together for you?
You know, unbeknownst to us, just like I feel like Navy Blue kind of came about, but some of the investors and, I guess decision makers at Bunkhouse had been dining at Bluedorn. Dining at Bluedorn. I think this was before Navy Blue was even a thing.
Yeah.
Before Navy Blue was open. We found out that they really enjoyed their experiences and found it uniquely Houstonian, and they were looking for a local partner, and we made a short list and continued that relationship until today. And we really, the more we heard about the project, the more we loved about it, because it's a hotel built to be fit into the Montrose neighborhood, which is exactly what we do in all of our restaurants. You know, we like to, you know, just like with Blue Doran, it fits so gently into the Fourth Ward Montrose. You know, it's in a very historic building that's housed incredible restaurants, and it has a true sense of place. And just, you know, Navy Blue, same thing, and in Rice Village, and then Bar Blue Doran, same thing as well. So it felt really comfortable with our brand and how everything's come together, that we wanted to do something with them. And with the same breath, we're having, you know, being so close to the museum district, right across the street from the Manil, in between Richmond and Westheimer, it was a great fit.
So. It is. And, you know, Eric, if you look at our growth the last couple of years, it sometimes may seem that we have a lot going on, but everything that we're doing today has been meticulously planned and was a conversation that literally started years ago. And per se being exactly one of those. These are happening from interactions that happen naturally, from meeting people and connecting with people. The Berghaus Group as a team are phenomenal people that we really enjoy getting to know and working alongside them. And they've been great partners so far. And we are truly excited to see these projects through together and looking forward to what's going to come out of them.
And very like-minded creatively too. So that really fits us.
Yeah, there's a subtlety to the St. Augustine that it really just looks like it's been there. You know, the buildings they're only a couple of stories. They're spread out on a campus. There's the entrance is on a side street. You know, it's all pretty subtle, for lack of a better word. I mean, that just kind of, you know, having looked at the pictures and driven past it a couple of times, it's very well integrated into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a comment they'll be happy to hear, you know, because the effort there, the vision was to have something that will look and feel like it's part of the neighborhood. And when you step into the space, be transported to what it is.
So talk a little bit about kind of the specifics of Perseid. I mean, what, you know, I know you've said that it's a bistro, but you haven't really shared much about kind of the menu or you're doing breakfast for the first time. So just kind of take us through the day parts or you know, kind of how you develop this menu.
Yeah. So I think first of all, we wanted this restaurant to be a restaurant on the Gulf Coast, a Houstonian restaurant, you know, that just like all of our other restaurants draw plenty of influence from where we are here in Houston, Texas. And one of the things that I've always loved about this region and this region's food, and, you know, also, you know, we can go all the way to New Orleans and, you know, even Alabama, and is Gulf Coast cuisine is rooted in French cuisine, because you go back years and years and years and it all comes from the French that the United States bought this land from in the Louisiana Purchase. So there's this deep rooted undertone of French cuisine in Gulf Coast cuisine. And at Perseid, we want to explore that even a little bit more. So take the format of a bistro brasserie, and start to layer in the subtle complexities of the flavors from around here. You know, I think as we open and as we evolve, you'll see that more and more shine through. But that was the idea. And you know, a lot of that inspiration I drew from learning more about the De Manil family. And, you know, they're a French family who, you know, was in the oil and gas industry and based here in Houston, and brought things from all over the world to the Manil museum. And I see us as doing a little bit of that in a culinary fashion at Perseid. So, you know, some of the all the influences that we've had through our travels, and you can even say through travels throughout Houston, and bringing those influences through and shining them through the light or the lens that is Percent.
I think that's an interesting kind of starting point because we don't have a lot of casual French restaurants in this town, right? Like that's just not, you know, it's certainly been tried and there's a couple of examples, but you know, it feels like a bit of a deficit, especially in Montrose.
Yeah, and I think it's such a lovely idea because there are beautiful indoor outdoor spaces, and you know, the idea of enjoying a glass of wine outside on the patio, and maybe a tureen or something of that manner. It just seems so relaxing, and so it's something that I'd want my stay in a hotel to sort of be a part of. Now, the other thing is, like, with you know, Sharif and I have had a lot of experience running a hotel restaurant. Not many people realize that Cafe Bleu was inside a hotel, and we did do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and room service. And while it was not owned by the hotel, there were lease requirements for us to be open for certain meal periods, and it really helped us. Like, how do we, you know, in that case, how do we create one-star Michelin food that's being served for breakfast, which was always a challenge. Like, how can we put one Michelin star on a breakfast? And we like to find ways to do that and elevate that experience, or just serve like a delicious breakfast straight all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, I assume a one-star Michelin breakfast is like a really classic French rolled omelet with a whole bunch of caviar on top.
Oh my! Oh yeah,
You're not wrong.
actually, no. Well, Oprah did the $600 omelet one time with like white truffles inside, white truffles outside of an omelet.
So what can people expect? I mean, I mean, are we gonna have like pancakes and bacon? Are you gonna, you know, omelets, Benedicts? I mean, like how?
Well, look, we've been known for our pancakes at all of our other restaurants. We gotta put them on. So those will be on the menu for sure. Yeah, there's definitely gonna be an omelet, you know. All the staples.
I mean, because the other thing is, you know, there's viennoiserie, right? Like, are you going to dabble? Or are we going to get a Bleu d'Or and croissant?
I mean, there will be viennoiserie that's baked fresh daily, of course. Yeah. So there will be those elements there for sure.
And then the dinner menu. I mean, are you like how French are you going? I mean, are we talking like, you know, beef bourguignon and coq au vin? Like how French are you? How French is it going to get?
I mean, we'll definitely. I can tell you this: we will touch on all those classics at one point in time, at some point of the year. Like, I'm not going to put beef bourguignon on a menu in Houston, Texas, in the middle of August. That would be crazy.
Right.
But tonight, I would. We're not open tonight, but I would love to have a beef bourguignon tonight. Let's put it that way.
And this is happening soon, right? I mean, the hotel is open and the lobby bar is open. The restaurant's not quite open yet, but by the end of the month, I think.
By the end of the month, absolutely.
What have you kind of learned? I mean, because I know the lobby bar's been open and you've been doing a little bit of food. What have you kind of learned already just in the couple of weeks that that's been going on?
You know, I think there's a genuine curiosity from Houstonians that want to come in and check it out. I love that the lobby bar area is this. It's this mid-century modern living room space, very eclectic with really cool just design elements that feed into the space. Also, native plants have a big part in it, and it has a really relaxing vibe to it that I really enjoy. I mean, I think of hotels like boutique hotels around the country in places like Charleston, and that have these sort of meeting spaces, and I can't name one. Maybe the Houstonian sometimes, or like hotels around here that I would pop into and have a drink at. And this, I feel like I would definitely pop into and have a drink at, maybe before or after going to the restaurant in Montrose. Maybe BCN. BCN's close by. Clark's. There's what is it? 93 Till's right across the street. There's No No's.
Yeah, No No's is right around the corner.
Yeah,
You
my
know,
favorite.
dinner at Perseid, followed by drinks at not
Quixote?
Toasted Coconut, inside Toasted Coconut.
Is it Quixote?
Quixote. Quixote,
Yes.
yes. There. You know, that'd be a really fun evening.
Yeah, right.
Or pre-dinner glass of wine at Light Years, dinner at Perseid, and post-dinner drinks at Quixote. That's a good Montrose evening.
Yeah, exactly. If you're doing a Montrose draft, that's it right there.
All right. Well, so let's I think we'll have more to say about this, I guess, closer to opening. I'm in conversation with all of your people, so I know that more details to come.
Absolutely, and delicious dining experiences, hopefully.
All right, so let's move on. Talk about you've been open at Bar Bluedorn for a little more than 6 months now. I mean, talk about kind of how that restaurant has evolved and kind of getting to know a new neighborhood in the Memorial area.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a blast. I mean,
It's been fun. The Memorial crowd has been so inviting to us. I tell this story on day one when we were in the space training. We had just arrived, literally having pushed past construction. And I remember around noon time almost, we see a family pull up in front of a restaurant in a golf cart. And I'm looking at them through the doors, wondering who they were. They walked into the space with boxes of donuts. Literally, they probably brought like about 10 dozen of donuts for the staff and to just say, "Welcome to the neighborhood." And I thought that was such a kind and welcoming gesture. But that just kind of speaks to how that neighborhood has felt to us coming in. People that we recognize from Boudon, we do realize a huge part of our foot traffic across our restaurants is Memorial influence. So over the years, people have always asked, "Please come to Memorial. When are you coming to Memorial?" So that specific location was one that we had our eyes on for a long time, and eventually it worked out. We were able to move into the space and open bar, and glad we did that because it's a fitting spot for the concept that we wanted to put there. One that's your true go-to neighborhood spot where you can eat out any night, you by yourself with your family, whether it's date night or leisurely night, or sit at the bar, watch TV, grab a beer. I think Bar Blue Dot as a space has truly captured that essence. And as you walk into the restaurant, I don't know how many people notice this, but right in front of you on the floor, there's this big sign that says Memorial. And this was our thought at just, really kind of giving a special shout out to that neighborhood to say, "This is your restaurant."
And people are figuring out too, like figuring out how to dine there, how to eat there on a date night, or how to eat there with a big group, getting a fried chicken floater for the table, and then everyone gets their entrees. Or the burger has been a lot of fun to just to have. I mean, I know we have burgers at most of our restaurants, but that's it seems so right there. I don't know.
Well, and I said this on the show last week, right? Like I go to Bluedorn and I know that there's a burger on the menu at Bluedorn, but when I go to Bluedorn, it's for like a big, it's usually an occasion. I don't want the burger. It doesn't feel appropriate. I have no problem walking into Bar Bluedorn and being like, "Yeah, give me the burger tonight. Like, just take it easy. Give me a beer and some fries and the burger, and it's good." And I wondered if you kind of share that sentiment, or if you hear that from other people, that there's just something about it that makes it feel just like a little more approachable, like a little easier than either of the other two restaurants.
I'm so happy to hear it. I mean, that's literally what we spend so much time on how do we, when you follow up a restaurant, how do you create that difference, so that different feel, or that different vibe? And I think you hearing you say that right now makes me feel so good, because that's what we're putting out there, and that's what we want to be putting out there for that restaurant. We also want to be people see the Bluedorn name, and there are certain expectations that come along with it. So we need to make sure that we live up to those, good service, and maybe having like a duck on the menu or something like that, which we do. But also, yeah, we want it to feel very somewhere where you can eat that isn't a celebration, and somewhere you can come with your family potentially, where it doesn't have to be such a production. And we're thrilled if that's what people are picking up, and I've heard that from a lot of people too, so that's
But
awesome.
this is the tricky part because, opening a restaurant is layers on layers and on layers. You know, you can write a menu, you can train your staff to do this, you can hire all the right people to cook delicious food and everything. But to create the energy you want to have in your restaurant and give your restaurant, I can't even say give your restaurant, and see your restaurant develop its own character and become what it is. That's the part that's really requires close eyes, watching it, and be quick to adjust and making sure that you're seeing the restaurant go in the direction you want it to. So when you say that Bar Blue Dawn feels approachable, you know, you hit a chord deep, because that's this was the vision we were hoping to see with that restaurant. And a lot of thoughts and fine tuning went into that to create that energy, to make sure that service didn't feel so overcompensating or just too much presence, but really making it fun, friendly, and very efficient.
You know, the other thing I just wanted to ask you about is Chef Ali Pina, who's, you know, kind of came up through the ranks at Blue Dorn and then Navy Blue, and is now leading the kitchen at Bar Blue Dorn. It's been interesting kind of watching her, you know, implement the dishes that, as you said, like you have to have, as a Blue Dorn restaurant, right? You have to have oysters. You're going to have the burger. You're going to have, like you said, duck or some other, you know, steaks, whatever. But, you know, walking in there and having like a really legit tuna tostada over the summer, and now the masa dumplings, and seeing her kind of integrate some of her Mexican heritage into that menu, I think that's exciting.
It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. And I mean, I can't tell you how proud I am of her to have seen, you know, how well she's done. And how the other thing, she's just a great leader at the end of the day. Not only is she an amazing chef and can come up with really great flavors and can implement those flavors, but she's a great leader, and she has the team behind her. And she is, you know, creating the next generation of chefs in the city, just like Chase or Jared at Navy Blue. And just to watch her grow into that, it's been such an amazing experience for, I think, both of us. And yeah, like I said, she's definitely an up and coming star, and she'll be off opening her own restaurant group one day. And that'll make me extremely proud as well, but then also grateful for the time we've had with her. So she's been amazing.
You know, you do have this kind of, you know, like college football program thing where like you sort of recruit talent, they do well, and then they move on. I know that, you know, Cole, who had been the general manager at Bar Blue Dorn, and Molly Ostad, who had been your wine director, you know, are moving to North Carolina to open a chicken restaurant. And so, you know, you've got to fill those roles. So kind of, I don't know if you've hired a new wine director yet, or kind of what that's, but like, just talk a little bit about that process of like identifying who's up next and kind of where you are with that.
Yeah, thank you for asking this question, because this is, if I could identify the number one driver for Chef and myself in doing what we do, it's the people behind us, as we grow, to see them grow, as they grow, we grow. We feel so motivated to go and push the boat out a little further every day, because we have people behind us who deserve that growth and looking forward to growing. I think from the time when Cole was a GM to Malik is a GM here at Blue Dawn, we've been able to promote from within, so that all our general managers across all our restaurants come from within our restaurants, including per se at St. Augustine. David, who was the assistant GM at Bar, took over as a GM and has done phenomenal from the time he took on. David is someone who started with us as a server at Navy Blue. And same with Malik at Blue Dawn, who started as a bartender, became an assistant GM. John, who was our bartender turned service director, also today running his own restaurant with the hotel. So these people within the building are seeing it as an opportunity when these changes come, and they step into it, and we support them and make sure that they are able to achieve their dreams. And it's worked out for us so far. So that is to say that we certainly would not be able to do this without the support of these team members. And we always feel very lucky that we have them with us, but also just excited to go and look for new opportunities. The role of wine director, at the moment, we do have each restaurant in the hands of a talented sommelier, but this is something that we'll revisit.
You know, the other thing that I like kind of seeing is that you've been kind of open to these collaborations, right? Like, you did a dinner with Leonard Botello from Truth Barbecue. You've had the guys from Chubby Fish and Charleston in for a dinner. I know you've got this this steakhouse thing coming up at the end of the month. So,
Oh yeah.
So I want some details on the bone-in pop-up that's happening later this month. But just from a philosophical perspective, talk a little bit about these collaborations and kind of what the motivation is to host other people in your restaurant.
Well, I think it gives everyone here the opportunity of eating at these restaurants such as Brady Williams, eating with the chef Brady Williams from Tomo in Seattle, who is I've admired for a long time, just recently became friends with, and we were doing this we call it the Blue Bayou series with Rezi, and this our plan is for this to be a yearly thing. So we're starting off with three chefs, the first of them being Brady. Bonin is a pop-up he did at his restaurant Tomo, which is, I mean, it, and he knocked everyone's socks off in mm-hmm. Seattle. I mean, it's gonna be a ton of fun. Everyone that comes will start off with a few steakhouse staples with his spin on it. Going to a salad course, and then we'll go into a full-on three cuts of beef with all different sides. There'll be a like a super luxe baked potato that you can opt for with caviar and uni. I mean, Brady did this, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts rolling this concept out to something more permanent because he's had such great feedback. So when we were talking about what he was going to do when he came to Houston, I said, let's just do a steakhouse. Let's do your bone in concept. And yeah, he jumped for it. So that'll be fun. We're also hosting Rogelio Garcia. Him and I have connections through, we both used to work at Cyrus back in the day. He's now a chef in Napa, has one Michelin star. Sarah Grunenberg is coming back as a big time homecoming again. This was I'm hoping Chris Shepherd will come in and hang out with us too. But you know, I wanted to have some real big heavy hitters for the first lineup. But after these three are through and we've done these three dinners, we're going to do another three. And then another thing that's paired with this is I'm bringing them down a few days early. We're putting them up at Hotel St. Augustine. And we're going to do some real Texas things. So like with Brady, we're going to go down and down to Angleton and shoot some quail in the morning and maybe hop on a Bass Lake and then do a restaurant crawl in Chinatown, things like that to really give them the Houston experience and not only, you know, have them come down for a dinner, but then also anything else we can do around here that's fun. Maybe we'll go. Maybe I'll take Rogelio. Actually, I already took him for an Ora King salmon meetup we did a few months ago. We all went fishing, but caught a bunch of redfish. But we'll figure out something. Anyway, things like that are very unique to Houston. I got the idea. I was I did a chef exchange up in Calgary with the chef Darren McLean, and he had arranged it with the Alberta Tourism Board to take me mushroom foraging. We went heli fly fishing in Banff, and then we did two dinners, and it was so much fun to have that be a part of it. So I really came back with a really good sense of Calgary, which is a place that not everyone knows is as beautiful as it truly is. And I wanted people to have that. I wanted these chefs to walk away with the same sentiment of Houston. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the bone-in pop-up. Although, you know, sitting here talking to you about it, I do feel like you kind of missed the Creedence Clearwater Revival reference of bone on the bayou. Is that too obvious?
Boning down the bayou? Yeah.
well, no, just their song is Born on the Bayou, so just bone on the bayou just seems like the obvious. I don't know. That's how That's an insight for both you and the audience into how my brain works, I guess.
Well, if it's on the title, I'm going to give you credit for it.
All right, I appreciate that. And then finally, you know, we haven't really talked since the Michelin Guide came out.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Blue Dorn is recommended. Navy Blue snubbed bitterly. You know, when it was first announced that Michelin was coming to Texas, you were kind of the OG Michelin skeptic. Obviously, you were responsible for holding a star at Cafe Bleu for Danielle. But now that it's here and now that you've gotten the recommended for Blue Dorn, has your opinion changed at all?
A little bit. I've seen what it's brought to the city. I see how positive it's been. Look, I think the thing with Michelin is we can always say that we, you know, I think they don't always get it right, but I will say in the same breath that I'm very grateful to have been included as a part of it, and to see what it's done for our team at Blue Dorn has been amazing. But then also our teams at Navy and Bar Blue Dorn are now hungry to go out and chase after it, and that I didn't necessarily expect, and that was an oversight on my part. But I think what it's brought to the entire city is sort of a you know, everyone, it's something to work towards, and it's something for us to make our restaurants better for our guests. So I think anything that where the consumer, the diner, the guest wins, which I think they will overall, for every restaurant. I don't think any restaurant's going to say, well, I'm going to make my restaurant worse for Michelin. Mm-hmm. Everyone says they're going to make it better. And I think that's amazing. I think that it just strengthens us as a city. You know, and we can take a lot of pride as Houstonians. I mean, we should have gotten more than Austin, I will tell you that, but, you know, whatever. But I think the fact that we are, you know, number two in the state of Texas is amazing and extremely well-deserved. But and it gives us all as a city something to strive for, you know, because I look at that collective tally and I'm like, all right, we're good. You know, we deserve more. Let's show them, you know, and I think that everyone's on that same program.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, knowing that they're taking a very broad definition of the word value for Bib Gourmand, right? And that it extends to T-Rex and Nancy's Hustle and Nobies. It's like, okay, so like, you know, for Bar Blue Dorn or even Navy Blue, like a Bib Gourmand would be an appropriate level of recognition and something to aspire to, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I almost fell out of my chair there when I heard T-Rex. I had them as a 100% shoe-in for a star. I mean, I can tell you with combination of creativity and the quality of the food there, I was shocked that it was Bib Gourmand. Not to say that, you know, I definitely thought they were getting a star. But and I've never made it out.
And I did too, right? I'm on the record, right? Like I, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I, you know, as you said, right? We, you know, and as I was saying, we knew they were going to get some aspect of it wrong, right? And in, you know, in our case, it's like not enough respect for our sushi restaurants, no regard at all for our seafood restaurants, and not really spending enough time getting into Chinatown and Vietnamese food, right? Like, yeah, thrilled for Mala set you on, but like there's more and like more to try. But, you know, as I've also said many times, like this is the worst it's going to be. This is the least they know about us. So, you know, it's a 3-year commitment and we'll kind of see where we are at the end of 25 and then again at 26 and how we feel about it as a city. But yeah, I think what you said about giving people in restaurants something to aspire to at a time when, you know, like, I mean, you know, there's the Tastemaker Awards and there's the Chronicles Top 100, but, you know, in terms of like international status, it's just, there's not a lot. So this is kind of the gold standard, like it or not.
Yeah. And that's what it is, like it or not.
All right. Well, I know you haven't opened your fourth restaurant yet, but of course I have to ask, like, do you have a fifth in mind? I mean, do you have something? Is there a style of cuisine that you really want to do next, or a neighborhood you really want to be involved with? I mean, you live in the Heights. You're not in the Heights yet.
Not in the Heights yet. I actually like that. I'm not because it makes me feel almost like freedom a little bit. I can go out and not worry about my job. I think we look towards, I feel like this is kind of it for the Loop for now, inside the Loop and inside our immediate area. I think Houston has a lot of restaurants that have opened up in the last few years, and we have our niche, and we're very grateful for it. I think starting to look outwards maybe a little bit more is kind of where our heads are at for now, but we'll see. I mean, you never know what tomorrow's going to bring and what opportunities could come up that you can't pass up. There certainly are a lot of exciting opportunities out there. And I'm excited to see what 2025 brings for new chefs, like definitely with Sean and Camaraderie and Nick with Agnes and Sherman. I think those are two extremely exciting restaurants that are opening up this year and very unique and very going to just like really, and those are in the Heights, right? So I get to go enjoy those. Yeah. And I think there's more to come for Houston dining. I will say, I didn't mention this. I do want to, this is going to be a shameless plug, but we are doing a Dine Out Rice Village, which is like a winter restaurant week with Southern Smoke, where Navy Blue, Hamsa, Milton's, and D'Amico's will be participating in a $35 lunch, $55 dinner, two courses for lunch, three courses for dinner. So fun things to do in the month of January that all benefit Southern Smoke. So
all right, say the restaurants again. Hamsa, you guys,
Milton's, and D'Amico's.
Oh, okay. So one kind of neighborhood staple and three relative newcomers.
Yeah.
Have you been to Milton's yet?
For the opening party, I've been trying to find time. I mean, like the holidays are the worst time to get in, but I've been just salivating from afar.
Yeah, I know. Worth checking out. All right. Well, I will say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you would like to discuss?
Yeah, that's it.
No, Eric, just happy and excited to be here, catch up with you today to kick off this new year. Hopefully new year brings lots of exciting news for the city of Houston and our amazing diners and supporters, and always grateful for all the support that we receive from our community. So thank you for having us on this call.
All right. Well, gentlemen, plug the websites, plug the social media, whatever you want for people to stay in touch.
Yeah. BlueDornRestaurant.com, NavyBlueRestaurant.com, BarBlueDornRestaurant.com, at BlueDornHTX, at BarBlueDornHTX, at PersedHTX. Yeah. At Aaron BlueDorn. Yeah,
that'll do it. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank Peace. You, Eric.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.